step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the 12th and final round.
Right hand, Golovkin steps in and down he goes again. Unbelievable! Mayweather makes him pay. What a rookie mistake. A sensational left hook by De La Hoya.
It's fact, I'm the best, you know what I mean? Sometimes I don't want to believe it myself, but it's the truth. I'm the best.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
From Southern California, this is the Last Round Podcast.
Welcome to another episode of the Last Round Podcast. Today we have a special guest all the way from Australia, the current holder of the Australian BMF title, George Kambosos.
I love it, man. I love it. I'm actually in Miami, so I might have to go looking for Masvidal and take that off him as well.
There you go. So how long have you been in Miami for camp?
I've been here the last 4 weeks. So I'm always training. And when I was in Sydney, Australia, throughout the pandemic, I was continually training 2-3 times a day. And I've been here the last 4 weeks and we're ready to fly out to London tomorrow and, get the business done. We're ready.
Before we kind of jump into the upcoming fight, I just want to kind of go back a little bit. And can you just tell us how you actually got into the sport of boxing?
Look, I was an overweight kid at around 11, 12 years of age. And I was playing park footy. I was pretty good, but I was always overweight. And that was kind of holding me back. So my father, who is my co-manager and advises everything that I do, look, he turned around and said, look, we've got to do something in the off-season. And, boxing came up. So we headed down to the local, police boys club. And before you know it, I lost all that weight. And I fell in love with the sport. The first day I went into the boxing gym, I fell in love with the sport. And, things just, skyrocketed. From there, I ended up having my first amateur fight. And, 100 amateur fights later and 18-0 as a professional, ready for a world title eliminator. It's been a crazy journey.
Can you remember the first spar and the first time you got punched in the face?
I did, yeah. It was a scary, moment. But, I think that inner, warrior came inside of me and, I actually enjoyed it. I started to enjoy it more and more and I started throwing some punches back and started landing my own shots. And, I turned around and said, okay, when's the next sparring session?
Was there any boxers you looked up to when you were coming through?
Look, I never really looked up to too many. I loved, obviously, the all-time greats, Roberto Duran, Johnny Tapia, the guys that like to fight, even Manny Pacquiao, all these guys that want to come and fight, Sugar Ray Robertson, they're here with bad intent. Every shot they throw is with bad intention. So I like to take lots of bits and pieces from heaps of fighters, and watch and learn and make my boxing IQ even better.
How popular is boxing in Australia now? Because there seems to be more and more boxers actually coming out from Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, look, it's getting pretty big. You got to look at social media wise. I got nearly 111,000 people on Instagram alone. Some mainstream footy players that are on TV every single week don't have nowhere near that. So we've got a lot of support, and obviously the game is, it's improving. The sport is improving. And you've got guys like myself leading the pack. I left Australia a long time ago. I chose to come over to the US, and get the hard fights and chase my dream. And we're so close to achieving what we set out to do.
Where did you get the nickname Ferocious from?
Ferocious. It happened a long, long time ago when I started having my amateur fights. And obviously a few of my friends at school decided, okay, we want to see you in action. And obviously I was just George Kambosos back then, and they came and saw me fight and beat up on someone. And all of a sudden, one of the boys turned around and said, look, that was ferocious Kambosos. And it just stuck. And look, the way I fight, you say the way I fight, I'm ferocious. I go in there with bad intent. I throw a lot of punches. I'm in your face every single round.
You've only had 18, obviously, fights as a professional, but you had 100 amateur fights with 86 wins. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah. A lot of amateur fights, a lot of traveling, international tournaments. We fought in Ukraine. We fought in Russia. We fought in the US, you know, all over the world, Armenia, all these different countries where you're fighting the best continually over and over. You know, the pros, it takes a bit of time to start making a move. And obviously, you've got your team and everyone's guiding everything. But in the amateurs, you're fighting the best. You could fight three top Ukrainians like we did within a week and a half. You know, and when we did go over there, we ended up getting 2 wins out of 3. So it shows the early signs of where we were back then. But 100 amateur fights.
You did a lot of, I think it's approximately 250 rounds with Manny Pacquiao. How did that link up happen?
Look, yeah, like you said, 250 rounds with the all-time great Pacquiao. It all started when I was having my big fight in Australia against Brandon Ogilvie, who was in the top 10. He had made some big wins and moved his way into the top 10. And we always wanted to come to the US, so we eventually came over to the US and started sparring. And we're at the wild card gym sparring. And, you know, we started getting noticed over there. We're doing some great work with some certain, you know, former world champions and world champions. And then we went back to Australia, had a massive win. And then when I had another big fight straight after, went back to the wild card gym and we started sparring with Jose Ramirez, who's the current, you know, I think he holds both belts in the light welterweight division, and Ray Beltran, another former world champion. We were sparring these guys back to back, 5-5. So not only they're world champions and former world champions, but they were Pacquiao's main sparring partners as well. And look, Freddie Roach obviously turned around and said, you know, the Pacquiao Horn fight just got announced. You're going to be a sparring partner for Pacquiao. You know, you got the goods and we need that speed. We need that style, that aggressive, fast hands that will make Manny think, because not many guys make him think. So I took it with both hands. You know, I went over there and, you know, it was a difficult time because at that period, my fiance was heavily pregnant. You know, she was due to give birth while I was away. So that's the risk. That's the sacrifice sometimes us fighters have to take. And look, 3 camps later, after that first camp, you know, we had a great camp, but to get the call up for the Matisse camp and fight on the undercard, and then the Pacquiao Barona, you know, camp and fight on that undercard as well was incredible for my career. Not only, you know, me learning more and more from such a great fighter, but you know, to see the things he does outside of the sport and the humble fighter he is. Look, obviously people see the way I am, and obviously I'm a very confident fighter. But you ask anyone that knows me well, you know, I'm one of the most humble fighters you ever meet, and you know, I'll give my shirt off my back to someone.
Any stories from your time over in the Philippines with him?
We had some pretty crazy stories. Look, one of the stories was on the first camp, Marawi, which was about 2 hours away, had got taken over by the ISIS group that was pretty heavy over there. And they started making some threats saying that they were going to come down, which is about 2 hours, to the mountains of General Santos and look at probably taking us out, trying to snipe us, and obviously snipe Pacquiao being who he is. So we heard obviously the word about that, and that morning we're running early in the morning, and before we started the run, there was so much, you know, more military, more army with us. Obviously the soldiers had their guns, and I turned around to Pacquiao and said, "It's all right to run today. Like obviously we've had the threats," and he's like, "Yeah, no problem. We run. We got the army." I go, "Yeah, the army, but they got snipers. We got AKs, but they got snipers." And I'm thinking, all right, if they miss him, I'm next to him. I'm the main sparring partner. I'm the main training partner. So they're going to get me. But we're all good. We're safe. We ran that day very, very fast. I think we couldn't wait to finish the run. But look, some great stories. You know, his 40th birthday party. I was at his 40th birthday party. It was raining. Unbelievable. It opened up that day. And he had a massive birthday party and decided to rain like crazy. And everyone was trying to get inside and there's so many crazy stories with that guy, you know, and seeing the man he is, and to be able to spend so much time with him away from not only in the ring, but you know, like I said, you know, having dinner with him, having lunch with him, breakfast with him. You know, it's a crazy time, and it's been great for my career. If I could sit there with 250 rounds with that man, and look, you got to see what he's been doing in his last couple of fights. He's still got it. He still has it. To do 250 with him and know where what I did in inspiring sessions. You know, I know where I'm going in my career. And even he said it. He goes, "You'll be a world champion. Definitely."
So obviously on October 31st, you have your IBF eliminator against Lee Selby. You did the Rivals episode with Eddie Hearn earlier this year. I think it was in April or May.
Yep.
Do you, Do you think you won the mental battle that day?
100%. That was a unanimous decision right there. I think everyone that watched it said that Kambosos won that one, but that doesn't count. That doesn't mean nothing at the end of the day. I'm so excited for this fight. You know, I'm looking forward to this fight. I've been looking forward to it since January when we started, you know, negotiating it. So finally it's here. You know, it's what, 10 days out? And we're excited. We're ready. You know, I'm 27 years of age. I'm young. I'm hungry. You know, I'm an absolute, you know, lion in the gym. I'm a man possessed. And I've trained so well. I feel fantastic. And I'm hitting the pads and my head coach is freaking out how hard I'm hitting. So we're ready. We're 110% ready. And I can't wait to get to the UK and do the business.
2018, you actually sparred with Lee Selby over in the wildcard.
Yep.
What did you learn that day and how did those sparring sessions go?
Look, the same way he fights, he runs. He moves and runs and you touch him and he gets scared. So I got enough from that sparring session. I know I won that sparring session, but at the end of the day, that was only 4 rounds and that was back in 2018. I mean, that was like 2.5 years ago. Since then, I've such more of a savage, more of a beast. You know, I've really come into my prime. Well, I feel he's gone backwards. He's really gone backwards. And come October 31st, you know, he's gonna say to himself that he doesn't have it anymore. And, you know, the new school is here. You know, he's had his time. My time's here now. You know, the new era, the young lions are here.
You think it's a passion of the torch?
Yeah, well, it's not like he had the lightweight torch anyway. So I can't really say it like that. But, look, I give respect to him. He's a former world champion, but that's where it ends. Same with Mickey Bay. He was a former world champion, but that's where it ends. You know, in the ring, it's business.
In your same division, obviously, we had Teofimo Lopez against Vasyl Lomachenko on the weekend. Teofimo's actually spoken a couple of times about fighting you. Do you think after the 31st, you'll eventually see that for all the titles?
Yeah, look, he called me out a couple of times prior to the Lomachenko fight having a few issues. And you know, he said, we'll go down to Australia and fight Kambosos. You know, he's the highest rated guy in the IBF. And both great styles, you know, very similar styles. You know, makes for a fantastic fight. So, look, I'm so focused on Lee Selby. That's the man in front of me. I've got to take him out, which I will. But straight after, let's do it. You know, I'll be the mandatory to him. And it makes sense. You know, you bring that fight to Australia or wherever they want to do it. But Australia makes sense. We got crowds. We can do 50, 60,000 people in a stadium between, you know, myself, you know, the homegrown fighter, obviously coming up, and him being the unified champion now. Two hungry lions, that's what it's about. The best fight and the best. And look, he went out and done it. You know, he wants to fight the best and he took out and won the belts. And I'm doing the same thing. I'm chasing the best guys, you know, whoever's in my way. You know, I'm coming for him.
Do you think you'll be affected at all fighting behind closed doors, no crowd?
Look, to be honest, it's going to affect Lee Selby more. He's been used to fighting in front of massive crowds. I was fighting in front of big, big crowds in Australia. But when I made the move to Australia, to the US, and started fighting on these undercards and all these Pacquiao undercards, I was early in the night. I fought Mickey Bay, obviously at Madison Square Garden. At the start of the fight, there wasn't many people there. And then the crowd started building up. So I've done it before. It doesn't really matter to me. I've been doing it for the last few years. You know, when I took the risk to come to the US and start again, and I went from headlining shows, so much momentum in Australia, you know, making real, real good money and building such a big fan base. And then I left. All of a sudden, everyone started freaking out, saying, what are you doing? What are you going for? I said, I'm going there because over there is a real sport. That's where the sport is. That's the Mecca of boxing. You know, man, and we had to start again. We started fighting on the big shows, but on the start of the big shows where there wasn't many crowd. So I'm used to it. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, the biggest thing is, you know, I wish there was a UK fan base where, because I got so many fans in the UK and they all message me and say, man, we wish you were fighting in front of a crowd. We want to see you fight. We want to see you, you know, put on a great performance and win this fight because so many of them know that I'm going to beat this guy. But there'll be another time. I promise the UK fans that I will come back to the UK and fight in front of a crowd. That's one of my goals.
Out in Florida, you've been sparring with Xander Zayas, Emmanuel Tagbo, two up-and-coming, real ferocious, similar style to yourself.
Look, Xander is my little bro, but he's big. he's a champion, man. He's going to be a future world champion. He had a great win on the weekend, you know, and they're moving him the right way. And the kid is ready for you know, the next step. Mm. But he's got a fantastic team, same team as myself, except for he's with Top Rank. I'm with Debella Entertainment. And we've done plenty of rounds. Great sparring. He's big. He's long. He's rangy. He can punch. He's got punches in combinations. Fast punches. So he's gave me great work. And then you got Tago, you know, another highly rated, you know, lightweight. What is he? 31-1. Who we've been doing great, fantastic work with. You know, you got to talk about, you know, quality of sparring. There it is right there. Plus, I've done a lot of rounds in Australia as well with some good, solid guys, some big guys, strong guys. I've done 150 rounds for this camp. You know, I'm telling you, I'm more than ready. But these last few weeks, quality-wise, Selby's not getting that quality. You know, and I know what I possess and I know what I'm ready for.
You've got a really strong division. Obviously, upcoming fights, we have Luke Campbell and Ryan Garcia on December 5th. How do you see that one going?
Look, it's a great division. It's a great time to be a lightweight. You know, you got so many big fights, big names, and you wouldn't want to be anywhere else. The kind of fighter I am, I want to be in this division. I want to be chasing the best. Just like, obviously, Lopez beat Lomachenko. He wants to be in this division. He wants to test himself like myself. Hungry young lions. And again, that's a great fight, Garcia and Campbell. You know, again, it depends. It depends how much Campbell has left in him. But being in the US as well, I think maybe Garcia will scrape through. But exciting fight, 50-50 fights. And that's what it's all about.
Another one we have is Gervonta Davis against Leo Santa Cruz.
Yeah, look, they're small guys. You know, like even that they're fighting at, I don't even know what, 130, 135. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the actual weight is going to be for this fight. But, you know, Santa Cruz is a 26er and Gervonta's, you know, blown out 26er. So, good fight. It's a good fight. It's an exciting fight. And I look forward to watching that fight after I do my business with Lee Selby on the same day. But I think Gervonta will be a little bit too much for him.
One thing I was surprised to find out was obviously you're still young, but you already have your own promotions.
Yes. Ferocious Promotions. Yeah. Look, I'm not just a fighter. You know, I'm a smart fighter. I've got a lot of things going for me. You know, we've got a lot of things. And obviously Ferocious Promotions is one of them. You know, we have a great you know, Commonwealth Games representative. You know, this kid that we have, Terry Nicholas, was at the top of the amateur game, but he wanted to turn professional. And, you know, we have him now under our banner and he's having his professional debut November 25th, which I'll be very fortunate to be back in Australia to watch that fight and be there with him ringside. And we have a few other really good amateurs coming through. We have a few other young professionals who we're looking at obviously coming under our banner and, you know, moving them the right way, the right blueprint like myself. You know, take out everyone in Australia, make the noise, then come to the US. And the connections we have here in America, we have fantastic connections. You know, I've got a fantastic manager here in America, Peter Kahn, who's, you know, the best manager in the world. And, you know, we're ready to, you know, bring more fighters eventually when they're ready to come out here. But we've got a good thing. I've got a good thing going.
Do you think that's something that separates you from a lot of fighters that come, you know, have that huge amateur pedigree and then they come in with a big contract, they're already signed to Top Rank where, you know, obviously you're hungry. You came up, you know, had to do everything the hard way, smiting at the small hall shows and, you know, not for much money and then obviously gradually work your way up.
Yeah, 100%. Look, I've achieved and everything I'm going to achieve, I've had to earn it. I've earned every bit of it. No one's ever given me anything. You know, there was times where, you know, I was fighting in front of like 50 people at a local club show. I mean, and to get where we are now, it's incredible. But there's so much more. You know, I'm so hungry. You know, I need them belts. I need these wins. So, look, and we go back to obviously the fight between me and Selby. He's been there. He's done it. He's been a world champion. Defended the belt. He's made some good money. You know, he's left his legacy. You know, I haven't done that yet. You know, I've done a certain bit, but there's so much more. This man is just another man in front of me that I need to take out and I will take out.
Have you thought about how you're going to celebrate afterwards?
No, I don't care about the celebration. That doesn't bother me. My celebration is in the ring. You know, all the hard work that I've been putting in, that is my celebration, fighting this man. That's the fun bit.
Any celebration meal since you have to make weight? Anything you've given up that you're going to eat?
Look, I'm an ultimate professional, so I always eat clean. I love to eat clean. I always love to do the right things by the sport. I'm a student of the game. And literally straight after the fight, I'll be looking for the gym. I'll be saying, okay, where's the gym? I've got to go train. I've got to do something. I've got to go for a run. The crazy bit is when I get back to Australia, I've got to quarantine for 2 weeks. So I've already organised, you know, getting all my gym equipment that I have in Australia to come to the hotel so I can do something for 2 weeks. But food-wise, you know, whatever. You know, I'll probably eat a pizza and enjoy myself a little bit, but I'll be then focusing on the next step, and I'll be there against the unified champ. That's what we're heading for.
And then after that, do you think you'd move up? Would you look up moving up to 140?
At the moment, I make the weight very easy. You know, I'm pretty much on weight right now. I've never really struggled with the weight. Like I said, I'm the ultimate professional. So we look to take the biggest fights at lightweight and clean out everyone at lightweight. And then from there, we'll see what happens. Maybe we move up. To be honest, I could even move down if I had to. Depends what's there. Depends what the biggest fights are. There's never an issue with whatever weight I need to make.
All right, George, you want to thank you for your time today. Obviously, the floor is yours. If you want to shout out your Twitter handle, your Instagram handle, and anything else you've got going.
Yeah, look, everyone, follow me on Instagram, George Kambosos Jr. My Twitter, George Kambosos. You know, Facebook page, George Kambosos Jr. Look, man, support me. You know, I'm working hard. I'm a fan-friendly fighter. I'm there for the fans. I want to give the fans action. And if you haven't seen me already, you know, you're going to love what I possess. I appreciate your time as well. Thank you.
Thanks, George. Obviously, you can catch the fight October 31st, and it'll be on DAZN over here in the US. That's right.
Yeah, it's everywhere, man. DAZN USA, Sky Sports Box Office, Fox Sports for everyone back in Australia. So you can't miss this one. And the co-feature to Usyk and Chisora. So massive platform for me to make a massive statement.
Awesome. All right, George, thank you for your time. And we're at The Last Round 12 on Twitter and Instagram. And you'll catch us again on Sunday. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.